Hello, I'm Doug Vacum at the Anacortes Christian Reformed Church, and it is my privilege to welcome you to one more weekend of remote worship. Lord willing, March 28th, we'll begin worshiping in person here. Until then, thank you for joining us on Facebook or on the computer this weekend. From Psalm 127, a song of ascent, as these psalms have led us to Jerusalem and prepared us for Holy Week, a song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I love that psalm, not just because it talks about the Lord granting sleep on a daylight savings time weekend, but because it starts us thinking about what the Lord is building, a house, what he's building in our lives. And the text today from John 14 begins to answer the question, who is doing that building? From John 14, that great chapter that is not just Jesus' goodbye moment with his disciples when he begins and ends with telling them he's going to leave, but it's also a wonderful Trinitarian a passage. Father, Son, and the Spirit of Truth, two counselors, we'll have to get them straight, working together to comfort us followers of Jesus. From John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come back. I will take you to be with me that you may be where I am. You know the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, with great patience, I would add, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, whoever has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? A very good question. Jesus answered, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away and I am coming back to you. And if you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. And I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come now, let us leave. Jesus' conversation with his disciples in the first century. A text, a story that John includes that the other gospel writers don't. Later on in the first century for disciples who needed this kind of comfort, and I believe the Holy Spirit's word for the church in Anacortes. in 2021? Well, as I said, this text is not just a personal conversation, personal goodbye moment between Jesus and his disciples. It really reads like a sermon. And I hope you've already had the Spirit take this word and begin working in your lives. I want to make some comments about each of these sections in this text, especially as it gets divided up by the disciples' response. Getting started, Jesus begins with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be agitated, frustrated, confused. It's a very strong word that he uses here. And it's no surprise, he's just told them that somebody's going to betray him, somebody's going to deny him, and he's going to leave. I mean, that's the end of chapter 13. But even so, Jesus is going to the cross. Whose heart should be troubled? The one whose heart should be troubled is the one who shows great care and great concern for his disciples. Jesus is the one who should be troubled. He turns to us and says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You just received some difficult news from Jesus. But Jesus is going to give us the comfort that's going to come with that. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Different translations, a lot of us who grew up with the King James, my Father's mansion, we getting to think that way. We read in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, and here the Lord is building the house. In my Father's house are many rooms. The rooms, that's the noun version of the word that becomes remain in John 15. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, it's that same word now in the noun form. This is a place to remain with Jesus. The church fathers thought of it often as a stopping point along the way. I don't think so. This is our final resting place with Jesus, so that you can be with me, Jesus says. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come and take you to be with me, that you may know where I am. And the disciples could only know that way. You know the way to the place because they know Jesus. And so Thomas asks a very interesting question. How can we know the way? Jesus' answer is both a great evangelistic statement. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And it's not I am the way, which is truth and life. These are three separate things in the Greek text. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. It's not just the last I am, it's the last I am that is tripled in power. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so it's more than just an evangelistic verse. It's more than just a verse that teaches the exclusiveness of following, the exclusive need to follow Jesus. It is that Jesus himself is the way. Jesus himself is the truth. And Jesus himself is the life in this passage. And Jesus also begins to develop in John 14 this test of spirituality. We live in an age in the 21st century when there's a lot of spirituality out there. Jesus' test of spirituality is this. If you really knew me, you would know the Father. If we've met Jesus, do we recognize the true God, that we've met true God? And again, I'm going to go to C.S. Lewis because I think I've done that every week for the past several months. In The Last Battle, the final chronological book in the Chronicles of Narnia, Emmet, a Calarman prince, has been serving Tash, whom he assumed was was a pillar of truth his whole life. When he meets Aslan, it changes. And his response, nevertheless, it is better to see the lion and die than to be Trisdrak, that's ruler of the Calarmans, and live and not to have seen him. But the glorious one, Aslan, bends down his golden head and touched his forehead with his tongue and said, son, you are welcome. Lewis, in that story of Emmett's search for true God, gets it right. That anybody, when they, whose spirituality is God-centered, whose spirituality is seeking true God, and they meet Jesus, will have recognized that they've met the Father. And that's why Jesus is so careful to explain to Philip, as Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough." Well, they have seen the Father, and the disciples' faith is at that critical point where they're just ready to recognize that when they've seen Jesus, they really have seen all the Father they need. "Don't you know me, Philip?" Jesus responds, "even after I've been among you for such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me, and that I am in you?" That's the theme that Jesus is going to develop in John 15 in our next tense, in our next sermon. "The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me, doing his work." If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus at work, you've seen the Father at work. When I've met Jesus revealed in Scripture, I have met the Father. Jesus restates the test of spirituality. One will recognize the work of God in the life of Jesus. But this text also answers that key question, who's going to do the work in my life? And it answers it in a very interesting way. I hope you picked it up as I read this text. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." That's a strong statement. I was on a team to critique a few candidate sermons. Candidates are graduates of Calvin Seminary who are going to be pastors in the Christian Reformed Church. They turn out their sermons their senior year, and then groups of pastors and elders get together and critique these sermons, and it's a lot of fun. I met a great Nigerian pastor. His name is Bernard, and we had a wonderful time critiquing some sermons together. And one of the sermons was John 2, water into wine. And the candidate made the comment that Jesus will solve your problem. He solved the problem in Cana with the wine, and he will solve your problem. Just have faith in him. And the question that Bernard and I both had is, how does that work? How does Jesus do a work in our lives? What is actually happening? And this text answers that question. I hope you heard it. He will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and you will be able to do it, right? But that's not what the text says. The text says you will ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. The answer to how problems are going to get solved is that Jesus is going to do a work. The problem in my life is going to be solved when Jesus does a work in my life, not when I do a work in my life. And I love the reminder from Jesus that he is the one at work. And now we're going to find out exactly how Jesus is going to do that as he introduces us to this next counselor, this other counselor. "If you love me, you will obey what I command," Jesus continues, "and I will ask the Father." First step, love and obey commands. Second step, Jesus asks the Father. "And he will give you another counselor." Not another who is the counselor, but another counselor. In 1 John chapter 2, Jesus himself is described as the advocate. And it's a wonderful, wonderful picture in 1 John 2 of who Jesus is. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense." It's this same word that is used there, the word paraclete. Comforter in some texts, helper in many texts. That's a really good translation here. Friend in the Message, advocate in the NRSV. Holy Spirit. Bob Mounts in his The Story of Jesus just says the Holy Spirit. Interesting that in the Aramaic Bible, this is translated Ahmed. A shortened form of Muhammad, and this is one of the texts that they use to say, "I'm going to send another one, Muhammad, later on." paraclete. I'm going to send another counselor, another advocate. And the NIV uses counselor. It's a good translation, but don't think of going to a counselor and telling them your problems and having them just listen. This is more of an advocate, someone who's going to stand by me when I am accused and be at my side when I need help. That's the idea here. Paraclete, someone who is called alongside, which is what parakleo really means. Somebody called alongside. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. And John has already reflected on this in John chapter 1 when Jesus came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. The world did not recognize Jesus from the very beginning in John's gospel. But you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We see that text one more time. Whoever has my commands obeys them. He is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. We are able to do greater things because Jesus is doing them. We are able to know Jesus truly, and we're able to see the Father at work because the Holy Spirit is in us. And those two requirements, Jesus doing the work in me, and the Holy Spirit in me so that I will recognize the work of the Father, are essential in John 14 to understanding how Jesus is going to work in my life. Only with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I use that word help especially because that's the name given to this counselor, advocate, comforter in the King James in so many translations, and it's a very, very good word to use. Now, Judas jumps into the conversation right at this point, and he asks a very good question. Jesus has used the idea of world in some positive ways. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And here we have the world is not going to know him. And Judas asked that very good question. But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And what Jesus says is, the problem is not with me, the problem is with the world. The problem is not with the counselor, the problem is that the world has already rejected God's revelation. And so when Jesus comes, they reject Jesus and they do not see the work of the Father there. Jesus' answer is very good. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him and will come to him and we will make our home with him. That is exactly the same word used in the opening words of this chapter.